Now, why was it desirable for her? I mean, you know, some people never have any problem with drugs or alcohol. They live their whole life, and they look at those people, and they're like, why do they make such a big deal about drugs and alcohol? Some people, believe it or not, have a certain immunity to sexual sins. And they look at people like, because those things are not alive to them. They could be. They're not. They're not, the sin isn't living in them. It's not alive. Now, when you're dead to sin, how can you, if you're dead to something, live in it? You know what I mean? Like, if your body's dead, you can't live in your body anymore. Okay. Now, let's say the body of sin now has been put to death. And Paul goes through and tells you why and how and the symbology of all those things. I mean, when you read this, how could you not want to be baptized? It says we are baptized into his death. Except you, because you don't want to be baptized. Or maybe you do it. Amen if you do. But those of you who don't, you know, say, I don't need to be baptized. Well, and you, then this isn't true of you. You weren't baptized into his death. As many of us as were baptized, see, those of us who were not baptized, well, you were not baptized into his death. I don't know that he's necessarily saying, okay, not everyone has to be baptized here. I don't think he's saying that at all. What he's saying is, people who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Because that's what we're showing. We're showing burial, because that's why baptism is by immersion. You know, sprinkling is not real baptism. It's something else. It's traditions. Probably hearkening back to, you know, it's more ritualistic to kind of sprinkle. I don't know. It's just silly. I mean, it's funny that they used to think so much about baptized babies and whether or not they'd go to heaven or hell. And at the same time, they're not even baptizing them properly. As if that's going to save a babe. I mean, look, the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. But again, God makes exceptions. I don't make exceptions. God could have said to the thief on the cross, yeah, you're right. You do deserve this. I don't. You're going to burn in hell. He didn't have to be like, you will be with me in paradise. He didn't have to do that. You know that? He didn't. It wasn't like some rule. He didn't owe it by your good works and by your deeds. I now justify you. See, we already went over that. God does not justify people by their works. But we've been talking about what salvation is and what it brings and the good things, right? And what God gives us. And God gives us, he gives us tribulation. He also gives us death. The death of the body of sin. As many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, just like he rose. It was so glorious. He rose and it was like, hey, that proves he's God. No, I know. That's why when Thomas, he bowed, oh, my Lord and my God, when he saw that raised up Jesus Christ. When you see a guy, it's one thing when someone goes around raising someone, you're like, wow, you look at the guy who's doing the resurrecting, right? But when a guy goes into the tomb all by himself and he gets out by himself, you say, whoa, there's something about him, right? He raiseth up the dead. But as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk like we're alive from the dead. Because I was going to say, you know, people, it's in the Christian vernacular. Even people say, I was once dead in sin, and now I'm alive in Christ, even though I, you know, and then to some people, it's like, yeah, but I still sin. Well, Paul's saying that can't be. No. And as I was saying before about myself, and I kind of got off on a track there, but there, you know, I had the Holy Spirit, I got delivered from sin, but then other sin came up, right? This is why I say, it's like, you know what? What, do you give up at that point? You know? And you know what? God may just try you in that and just roll you around for a while. Take a few months, a few years. You know? I was a drunkard for like 13, 14 years of my life, wasted on drugs and altered states of consciousness. I'm surprised I got any brain left. I always used to joke that I got enough to spare, but it's really a sick joke. What happens? Well, you continue in faith. You go from faith to faith. What can you do? What can you do? You can give up. Why? You can do that. But God, remember, it says he declares things that are not as though they already were. And so in some cases, yeah, you know, it's like, oh, I was buried in baptism. So from the moment I get baptized, I should be dead to every sin. Well, I'd like that. I'd like to make my demand of God. God, I've accepted your salvation. I've accepted these words here of Paul. And now you have to perform this. Now, I do say that to him. But you know what? He didn't have to give it to me right away. Just because he's being gracious with me. He might have said, nah, I want to see the work happen over like 4 years. I know you want it right away. I mean, I'm not trying to mock God. But in a sense, here's what happened to me, okay? Maybe I'm just condemn me in it if you like. But still. God, that's called the forbearance of God. He puts up with us doing certain things for certain periods of time for, you know, I guess in one sense, so that we would not despise his goodness towards other people who are in the same spot. And you can say, why doesn't he just give everything to everybody at the one time? Well, God didn't make things like that. See, that's the thing. It's like if he had made the world, he could have made the world in such a way that, you know what? He wouldn't have included the wicked. He'd just take the ones he wanted to make his sons, and he'd just instantly create them as sons, you know? But I probably wouldn't have been there, and neither would you or anyone else, and all these other people wouldn't have existed. It's sort of like when he said of the Assyrians, he said to Jonah, he said, hey, you know, there's this whole city of people over here. They don't know their right hand from their left, and all this cattle. What, you want me to just destroy them all? What, do you got no heart? Because even though God doesn't grant everyone eternal life, you know what? He still cares about these people. You say, but he's going to burn them. They're going to die. They're not going to live eternally. Well, he doesn't owe them eternal life, but still while they're alive, he wants to take care of them. There's so much suffering in the world. He knows. The world was created with suffering. You got to consider those who never got to exist. I mean, a life of suffering is still better than no life at all. I don't care what someone says. It's still better. And God has a way, those who suffer, God has a way of repaying them. And I am firm, God is just. He makes his rules. He makes his judgments. Okay? Anyone who tries to impute injustice with God is just barking up the wrong tree. You know what I mean? Because he will be justified. He will be, when he is judged, if anyone could judge him. You know, we talked about this before, now it's kind of ringing. When he's judged, quote unquote, when God is judged, he will be cleared. He will be justified when he is judged. Not that anyone's going to stand in judgment of him.